Second thing that maybe politicians are known for is breaking promises. In the Word of God, we find promises that you can stand on. You know, there's a lot of promises that are made today. But the problem is, who is backing those promises that are made? Who's backing up those promises that are made? Sometimes promises are made, but the person making the promise doesn't necessarily have full control over the circumstances surrounding the promise that is made. But in the Word of God, we find promises you can stand on. Promises that are 100% trustworthy. I'd like you to take your Bibles this evening and turn to Psalm number 33. And we're going to look at some promises in Psalm 33 and Psalm number 34. There's this song that we know, "Standing on the Promises of God, I'm standing on the promises of God." Can you say that tonight, that you are standing on the promises of God? Psalm number 33, the first promise I'd like to look at is verse number 18. It says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him, upon them that hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." Here we find the promise of protection. There's a promise here, but it is not a promise for everyone. It is a promise for a certain group of people. And who is that certain group of people that this is made for? It's made for those that fear Him. And it says, upon them that hope in His mercy. Last week we looked at the fact that God is to be feared. God is a God that we are to stand in awe of. And there are reasons why we ought to fear God and stand in awe of Him. But here we find a great promise for those that will fear God. For those that will hope in His mercy. We have this promise of protection to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. You know, there are a lot of things that we can fear today. Proverbs says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." In Psalm 34 and verse 4, it says, "I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears." You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, "Be anxious for nothing." We can fear a lot of things today. But instead of fearing what we shouldn't fear, God wants us to fear Him. God wants to put our complete trust. God wants us to direct our ways in life based upon who He is, rather than directing our ways based upon man or based upon some unfounded fears. And God says there's a promise here. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear Him. It says in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 16, or verse number, 30, no, I have the wrong verse written down here. 19, verse 16. Hold on a second here. I'm not sure what's written down because I specifically remembered when I wrote it down that I wrote it down backwards. Oh, that's what it is. That's a different reference. Okay, 2 Chronicles 16:9. That's the reference I wanted. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The 2 Chronicles 19:16 was another one. And I remember when I wrote it down, I looked at it, I'm like, oh, I just wrote that down backwards. Instead of writing 16, I wrote 16:19. It was supposed to be 19:16. And then this is the verse I want right now, though. 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." Here God wants to show himself strong. His eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole earth. And he says that his eyes are upon those that fear him. There's a promise of protection from the Word of God. But that promise is for those that choose to direct their life based upon who God is. You know, it says in 1 Peter 1:14, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance." In verse 15, "But as he which hath called you is holy," verse 16, "so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy for I am holy." I messed up in the exactly when the different verses happened, but what does it say there? Don't order your life based upon the way you lived in your ignorance, based upon the way you lived in your unsafe state. Don't fashion your life according to that, the desires of the former life. There's a new principle to live by, and that is the holiness of the God that called you to salvation. But you know what? There is a promise of protection. You know, there's fears out there. There's times where it doesn't seem like, physically speaking, in our own eyes, that this is going to make sense. You know, there's going to be some danger here involved in following God's way. But what does the Bible say? The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. You know, there may be dangerous situations. There may be things that don't seem right, but guess what? God's eye of protection is upon you. You know, whose protection do you want? Do you want the protection of man that can't be counted on? Or do you want the protection of God that never fails? And in 2 Kings 19, we find that Hezekiah found the protection of God. He said, "Lord, bow down thine ear and hear." Notice what he says next. He says, "Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God." Hezekiah is requesting God to see what's going on. Hezekiah was a man who feared God. And what did God do? He sent the angel of the Lord. Verse 35, "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses." Who are you going to fear tonight? In Psalm number 34, it says in verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." What a blessed promise that we have in the Scriptures. But not only do we have the promise of protection, we also have the promise of provision. Notice what it says in Psalm 34, verse number 9. It says, "O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." Psalm 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The daily necessities of life. Guess what? When you put God first, He's going to provide. It says, there is no want to them that fear Him. You know, as you hear maybe the political talk of the day, there's the talk of, boy, look at all the needs maybe that are out there. Look at all these people. Look at the gap expanding between those up here and those down here. And so various people are offering various solutions to the problem at hand. Well, we have a solution to the problem right here in Psalm 34 and verse 9. It says, O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. You know, there is nothing here. First of all, the requirement is salvation. Ye His saints. It says, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Now, some of the problem is sometimes what we think we need is not what God sees that we need. But we need to understand that there's a promise here. There is no want to them that fear God. You know, you're gonna have a situation put before you. You're gonna have two choices to make. You're gonna either have to choose to fear God and choose the right way, or you're going to choose to fear something else. Maybe it's to fear man. Maybe it's to fear the consequence of maybe what might happen if you make the right decision. But there is something here that we can grab a hold on, and that there is no want to them that fear Him. In verse number 10, it says it a little bit different way. It says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger. It says, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Do you see that? Those that seek the Lord, what? Shall not want any good thing. There is not one good thing in life that you will lack when you are seeking God. Not one good thing. It says, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, whose definition of good is it? Well, it's God's definition. But we can rest assured when we are seeking God, when we are seeking His will, when we are seeking His will through His word, through His direction, there is not one good thing. It says, no good thing will He uphold from them that walk uprightly. Do you believe that tonight? It's interesting in the book They Called Me Mama, she has some neat stories of how God provided. And one time they were back on furlough, and this is when the U.S. was plunged in depression, and her four children came down with whooping cough, and she was up many times during the night changing beds, trying to find something they could keep down. And it was a time of financial hardship, and the kids would tell their mom, Mom, all we want is oranges. And back in Africa, oranges was something that she had taught her children to like. It was something that was plentiful. She'd tell them, you know, it's something to help you have good teeth and strong bones. And anyway, so they had learned to like oranges. And here they're in this sixth day, and their mom, all we want is oranges. And a few days later, when they were even sicker, she decided that they should have some oranges. So probably didn't have a whole lot of money, but she went to the store. And while she was at the store, a church lady came and visited for a moment with her. And while the church lady was visiting with her, she noticed the oranges in her cart. And she said, missionary support must be pretty good. It's been a long time since we could afford any oranges at our house. And, you know, at that point, it just took the joy out of buying these oranges for her children. And, you know, the point of the illustration isn't this, but, you know, sometimes we make judgments on people and we don't really understand what's happening. I think that's just a little side note. But, anyways, you know, the first thing she was thinking, maybe as she's driving home. Maybe she thought in the story, but this is none of her business. But then the Lord reminded her the verse, for none of us liveth to himself. And she prayed to the Lord, said, Lord, make me willing to forego oranges if, you know, that's what your will is. And anyway, she comes home, and before the bag of oranges was gone that week, a young girl at church came over and told him, you know, I had my first job this week babysitting, and she had gotten paid, and she asked the Lord what she should do with her money. And she said, I believe he told me to buy you oranges. You know, not one week went by that someone did not show up with a bag of oranges as they were there. You know, just a little way that God, what? That God provided. And she didn't have to go to the store and feel like she was going to bother her conscience again by having to buy these oranges. God just provided. You know, there was another situation where she had taught her children about prayer. And anyways, they had, you know, living on the mission field, and they had just, but one day they were back on furlough. It might have been during the same time, but they didn't have really much money. And one of their 5-year-old girl, Miriam, said, I want a big fat hamburger for supper. And then she says, I want it on a bun with ketchup. And the mom's, you know, replied, well, Miriam, you can't have that. We don't have any money. And looking steadily at her mom, she asked the question, do we have the same God here in America that we had in Africa? Now, this is a 5-year-old girl. And the mom replied, you know, he's, of course, there's only one God. And the girl says, well, if he could give us oatmeal and prunes for Clifford in Africa, that's a whole other story where she had a baby, and just some of the nutrition there, the oatmeal and the prunes would help nutritionally with the baby. And there was another lady, missionary, that had a baby, and she gave her whole supply to this missionary to help nurse, I think, her baby back to health, or to help this lady's baby get healthy. And then she didn't have any, and then she had a baby, and then she sent this lady in. This lady was going into town that she had helped for supplies, and now she needed them, and she's like, could you ask for, you know, or could you get prunes and oatmeal? And the lady's like, that's not going to be at this, you know, the store, wherever it was in Africa. She's like, you should have planned ahead and had this stuff. And she had given all her stuff to this lady. And anyways, she had this big lump in the throat. Anyway, she went back and prayed, and lo and behold, like when she had just got done praying, she goes out and these men showed up, and they ended up having prunes and oatmeal, and eventually she ended up having a supply for a long time because they kept getting them. But that's the story there. He can give me hamburgers in America. He's like, she said, I'm going to ask him to. And so the little girl got on her knees and asked the Lord for a hamburger with a bun. And after the amen, she said, excuse me, I'd like some ketchup too. Well, mom kind of cringed inside, but she had taught her child to believe God, that God answers prayer, and she really didn't want her daughter to be disappointed, but she couldn't imagine how this could happen. Anyways, just a little later, there was a couple young couples that showed up at the house. It was the deacon's son was one of them, and they just quickly brought in some mail and a small carton, and then they leaped into their car, kind of gunned it, and were off. And suddenly the back door opened, a package fell out, and she tried to wave them down, but they were off. And anyway, she came in, set the package down. She opened up the box they delivered, and there in the box was ketchup and buns and also some dry cereal. But her heart kind of sank because there was no hamburger. But anyways, by after an hour, the people never returned for the hamburger. She opened up the package, and there in that package that dropped out of that car was 2 pounds of hamburger. And that night they had, you know, hamburger with a bun and ketchup. And, you know, just here's a little girl that had faith, that trusted the Lord to provide. Here's a family that had put the Lord first in their lives. And down to even some simple things of life, God provided. Now, are you going to be a family that chooses to separate yourselves from evil. It says in Psalm 34, further explains what the fear of the Lord is. He says, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. He says in verse 13, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The fear of the Lord, it's going to show up in our lives as we separate ourselves from sin. You know, it's a great promise of provision, but it's not for everyone. It's for those that have chosen to follow God. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We also find here a promise of a close relationship. It says in verse number 18, it says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. There is a close relationship that God has promised here. It says, those that are of a broken heart, those that are of a contrite spirit. You know, how do we come before the Lord? Do we come in pride? Or is there that humility? And as we tie this in with the fear of the Lord, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, in verse 1, it talks about that separation from sin and that close relationship that God will have with those that choose to separate themselves from evil. And then it says in chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit for perfecting holiness in the fear of God. There is a close relationship that God has promised. You know, there's so many opportunities out there nowadays to have relationships with people, with the internet. You know, people can get on the internet and have, you know, connect with all these different people. You know, if people would spend that same amount of time building their relationship with God, humbling themselves, being contrite, being of a broken heart, realizing that this is the relationship they need. What does the Bible say? The Lord is nigh unto them. And you say, you know what? I don't feel like I have a very close relationship with God. Well, you can. The Bible says the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. How badly do you want that close relationship with Him? We find here that there's a promise of an open ear. In verse number 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. It says, and His ears are open unto their cry. Verse 17 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The promise of an open ear. You know, King Hezekiah, he said, Lord, open your ears. Lord, open your eyes. And God's ear was open. Hezekiah was a king that had chosen to follow God. In James chapter 5 and verses 16 through 18, talks about how the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Talks about Elias or Elijah was a man that was subject to like passions as we are. Yet he prayed for the space of 3.5 years that it wouldn't rain. You know, God heard the prayer of Elijah. You know, life wasn't always easy for Elijah. But God heard his prayer. And the Bible says, you know, Elijah was like we are. He had similar passions. He had similar desires. He was made of flesh and bone like we are. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth. You know, it doesn't mean that our life is going to be easy. Notice what it says in verse number 19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Just because you're doing right doesn't mean that your life is going to be easy. You know, the Bible says, blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. But it does mean that what? Our God's ear is going to be open to our cry. And you know what? There will be deliverance. And there will be ultimate deliverance. You know, in verse 20 it says, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. And here the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect example of righteousness, he did die. But the power of God was displayed as he rose up from the grave and showed his power and deliverance over sin and over death. But in that whole thing, what happened? It says he keepeth all his bones. And through all the suffering, this what? This was fulfilled. You know, God's ear is open to the prayer of the righteous. It may not seem worth it, but God loves righteousness. Psalm 33, verse 5 says, he loveth righteousness and judgment. Now, I wonder tonight, what kind of promises are you going to live your life on? You know, you can get new hopes. You know, maybe a new election cycle comes up, and boy, your hopes start riding high. And then maybe a little bit later, they're brought back down. You know, but here is a situation where we can stand on these promises. One more that we can look at, we can read over Psalm 34 and 8 says, oh, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him, that puts his complete confidence and dependence upon God, realizing that his way is what is right. His way is what is best. It doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what I think is going to happen. I need to put my complete trust in God. There's Abraham. Ready, God told him to slay his son, to offer him up on the altar. And what did Abraham do in all that? He trusted God up until the very last moment. But God stopped him. And was just testing him. Was Abraham going to obey God? It was a test of faith. You know, obviously, God's not going to come down and tell you to do what Abraham did. But God may be testing you to see if you will allow your children to serve God. God might test you to see how willing you are to give something else up. You know, and tonight, are we willing to stand on the promises of God? Are we willing to fear God, to follow His directions, to live life according to His principles? Or are we going to be snared by the fear of man and have a life that ends up only being potential rather than one that stood on God's promises and realized what God had said is true? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you would help us to stand on your word. Lord, we need to just claim it by faith. Those circumstances of life seem to be dictating something else. Lord, we need to learn to trust you. Lord, we have a promise of prayer here. We have a promise of your protection. We have, Lord, a promise of your protection. Promise of this relationship. A promise of really a blessed life. And Lord, tonight, we have a choice to make. Where are we going to stand? Where are we going to, who are we going to base the decisions of our life upon? Lord, how foolish we are when we base our decisions on something other than what you have promised. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would work in our hearts. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe right now there is a decision that you're facing.